Hello and welcome to our podcast. Thank you for tuning in today as we go live to Hope City, Sheffield. We pray that this message inspires, encourages, and builds your faith as you listen. Enjoy the message.
Well, so I want to share with you an interesting message today called Sorry Not Sorry. Because many of us say sorry and don't mean sorry. Isn't there a song, Sorry? It's always been the hardest word. And I'm amazed, you know, with young children, their ability to learn a couple of words really, really early. No, and mine. And also, I am amazed at children's ability to say it wasn't me. Did you do it when you were a kid? It wasn't me. And then your mum and dad asked you, well, who was it? And it was usually my big brother, Robert. Now I've got two to blame on. You always blamed your big brother or you blamed your imaginary friend. Is that just me? Or there was always a leprechaun in the room or a fairy. Or somebody that, as a little child, you blame stuff on. I remember when I was a preteen, this is confession times of the pastor. I remember as a preteen, I started plucking my eyebrows, right? And I had a monobrow at that point, which, in other words, right across my face. And I remember telling my mum that I wasn't plucking my eyebrows, but it looked like there's such a thin line. I look back now, I thought she knew. Like, why didn't I just say sorry and raise my hand and go, okay, I did it. But we do, we love to cover. And we love not to say sorry. And how about let's just put our hands up and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And you know, that's the tenet of the entire gospel. So my life masterclass today is called Sorry Not Sorry. Do you know, humility and the ability to say sorry is completely countercultural to the heart of man. There's something in us that we don't want to expose ourselves and say it was me or say, do you know what, I'm really sorry for that. We just hold ourselves all together, don't we? This is a really different, interesting message for me to share today. So just lean in. We always think that countercultural is like the hippies in the 60s at Woodstock. We think something countercultural. Well, actually, as a Christian, you are designed to be countercultural. It's in your DNA to be a person that is completely countercultural. It's a radical thing. And we are designed to say sorry. So I'm going to go today to the story of the prodigal son and the need of all of our hearts for redemption. And so let me read to you from Luke 15. I'm just going to read to you the story of the prodigal son. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. And not long after that, the younger son got together all he had. He set off for a distant country and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. Do you know, I just stopped for a minute yesterday as I was preparing this and thinking, just imagine how you would feel if you were watching your son who'd walked away from God, taken his inheritance, because we don't sometimes put ourselves in the Bible, we just read it as a story. Just imagine as a parent, if your son went away and you gave him his inheritance and he was squandered his wealth, he was wild living, you would be on your face, wouldn't you? Believing God for your son. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And we know further in the story that the father welcomed his prodigal son back with open arms. And the prodigal son really is the story of the journey of the human heart. It's the acknowledgement that all the money and all the things and all the things we try to add to our lives can never fulfill the need that is inside of us for a savior. I believe this morning there are going to be some of you that make that prodigal journey back. There are going to be people here this morning that whose heart is a long way from God, and today is your opportunity for the Savior of the world, with his grace and forgiveness and kindness and redemption, to walk into your life and change it forever. This story is a story of how excess leads to such deprivation of soul. And Mark 8:36 says, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world but forfeit their soul?" This is the story of the prodigal son and the incredible power and need of redemption in our hearts. So, let's talk about it, shall we? Do you know there's an inbuilt place in the heart of man that has a need for sorrow? And we do everything we can in the Western world to escape it. We try to medicate it. We try to plaster over it. We try to drink. There's so many things we try to add. We add because we want to plaster over our need for sorrow and our need for sorry. But that is actually something that is placed in our heart as the very thing that would lead us to God. God has placed within every human heart and within our heart this sorrow because it only can be relieved by a connection with heaven. And we medicate over it in the Western world. Even when people die, we medicate over it. In the Middle Eastern world, they yell and they scream and they wail and they get it out of their systems. And here we plaster over it and try to fill it with so many other things. But I would suggest to you this morning that that need for sorrow and sorry has been placed deep in our hearts by God because it is the very thing that connects us with God. It's the very thing that causes us to go to God. Sorrow is an emotion required to touch God. It's an admission of guilt and it's an admission of imperfection. It's reversing the culture of the world that loves to hide. And that's why I shared a little bit of what I did at the beginning today, because I don't want to hide. We spend our lives trying to hide from the actuality of what's going on in our life instead of bringing it to God. It's the reversing of the world's strategy. And I want to say today, church, no more hiding. It doesn't suit you. It doesn't suit you. We come into the house of God and we hide what's going on in our life because we think that people's perception of us will mean they won't like us. But I would suggest instead that if we opened up our worlds and our hearts to God and to others, it will actually create an environment both vertically and laterally that is so strong. Even Adam and Eve hid in the Garden of Eden when they sinned. They hid from God. And God never wanted us to hide away from him. I find it so funny, isn't it? We all do it. We're trying to hide areas of our lives from God. And he's omnipotent and omnipresent and he sees everything. And we think we can hide something. Like, what the heck are we doing? Like, God, you could see every single part of our lives and our hearts and our stories. Sorrow and humility are a doorway to breakthrough. That's what they actually are. Sorry admits weakness, reaches out to a greater strength, and it leans in. It leans into God. Our admission of wrongdoing is the only requirement needed to meet a savior. It says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And all God requires for us to touch him, both Christian and non-Christian alike, is, Father, forgive me. Father, I'm sorry. Father, today I connect with the sorry in my heart. And I say sorry to you. And God rejoices over our admission and not our retraction. The world wants us to retract everything so we can look too cool for school the entire time. And God prefers that we admit who we are. That we put our hands up and we say, Father, I've stuffed up, I continue to stuff up. Every day, Lord God, I know I don't meet the requirements of heaven, but that is why you sent your son Jesus. Because today, Father, my sins are taken from me as far as the east is from the west. And admission today takes away condemnation, which keeps you away from God. We think we have to prove something to God. We get saved and then we start a journey of having to prove something to him. And he never wanted you to prove. He just wanted you to stand before him and saying, sorry. When did we take the gospel and turn it into a striving exercise? Christian, come before God today and just say, do you know what, God? I haven't got it all together, but I know the one who has. And I know that Jesus, the Savior of the world, who sent his son to cover over my sin and take it as far as the east is from the west. That is my Jesus. The message has not changed. The message has not been complicated. We like to mix it up in all sorts of stuff. The message has never been complicated. It's, I'm sorry, Jesus. It is. We want to hide because exposure is threatening. What if exposure was the doorway to a life so changed and a God so gracious? Our admission and our sorry, our complete heart-rending sorry, is a doorway to the power of God that changes the world. Do you know, I apologized to a whole lot of people this morning. I said, this message is so simple. This is just so simple. That's because the gospel is simple. Your faith is simple. And as a pastor, I felt like a number of weeks ago, I preached on truth. And today, I'm bringing to you the gospel. The simplicity of the power of God to bring salvation to the human heart. And I don't know about you, but yesterday as I was writing and going through this message again, I just sat on my bed and I began to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet this sound. That saved a wretch like me. Do you know that was a slave trader that wrote that song? Once was lost, but now I'm found. We can move on so much as Christians that we forget the beauty of our birth. How gracious, how kind is our God today that he covers our sin. That today he looks upon each and every one of our lives if we've said sorry and asked him into our heart. And he doesn't see sin. He sees a heart covered by the blood of Jesus. And I want to remove that condemnation from your life today. Because the enemy comes to kill and steal and destroy. And God comes to give life and freedom. He looks upon you today with compassion and grace and kindness. We think sorry marginalizes and minimizes us to a position of condemnation and smallness. But in fact, the opposite happens. The response of our Savior to our sorry is completely disproportionate to what we bring to him. We bring a life that's made so many mistakes. And he gives us the beauty of heaven. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. In actual fact, sorry is an incredible doorway. Sorry is a highway to resurrection power. Do you know if we put everything else aside and today we just understood the power of the cross, it would change our everything. It would change the way we viewed life. I want to take you back this morning as I'm preaching the power of the cross. The Holy Spirit is in this place today to do a work in us, to make us understand our entrance doorway today through our sorry into all the magnitude and magnificence of heaven. If we could just begin to say sorry and know the response of your Father to your weakness, you then will be able to begin to forgive and say a real sorry to others. Do you know one of the most powerful things to do in life is to have the ability to say sorry to others even when you did nothing wrong? Because my Jesus went to a cross and he'd done nothing wrong. And he took all the sins of the world upon his shoulders. And he had done nothing wrong because he loved humanity so much. For some of us today, I really believe in my spirit that a sorry is going to open doors for you. That many of you are in situations today and you're locked up and you're chained. And just to say sorry is a doorway. I think it's a life strength, which Dave would appreciate if I did more. I love the parable in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke 15, verse 4-7. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep? This is the heart of our Father until he finds it. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way, there'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Do you know, let's just stop for a minute. Do you know how much the Father in heaven loves one person saying sorry? He starts a party in heaven. And if we are good at parties, just imagine the magnificence of a party in heaven. I mean, every food you ever liked would be laid out. There would be gold, the instruments, the cutlery would be gold plated. A party lavished in heaven, not over thousands, but over one. And for some of you today, you're going to return to God, or you're going to come to God for the first time in this house today. And the party in heaven that's going to go on over your life, as the Father God picks you up and puts you on his shoulders and carries you, because that's what the scripture says. He embraces, he celebrates the sorry heart. He brings not only forgiveness, but freedom from condemnation. And it brings connection to the Redeemer. Do you know what, church? This is what this is all about. A Redeemer completely buys back our faults and our error. And he regains possession of our heart and possession of our failure in exchange for true freedom. It's like taking an almost worthless piece of tack to a pawn shop and discovering in exchange that you are now invited to be a shareholder in the whole business. That's what salvation is like. When we bring our life and our failure and our backsliding and our hearts, and we say, God, I am sorry, I come to you again. And even if you've been a Christian today for 1,000 years, figuratively, today we need to be grateful for our Savior. I found myself over the last weeks just sitting in the back garden, just worshiping God for no other reason other than He has saved me. This is a doorway of sorry in exchange for the extravagance of heaven. This doorway of humility and sorry in our daily life is also the currency that buys 1,000 offended hearts. This is so countercultural because the world doesn't want to say sorry. The world doesn't want to say, well, do you know what? I did wrong. And we walk in as Christians and say, do you know what? If I've offended you, some of you in your workplaces, if I've offended you, I am sorry. And we think that doing that and bowing is a weakness, but it actually invites the power of heaven to sit upon our lives. It invites the power of God into a situation in which He wasn't before because of the pride of our hearts. Oh, Pastor, you're hurting me. Sorry gives the reins of our protection to our God and frees those we have offended to freedom. This is very quiet in here. But sorry also is promised an incredible inheritance. What lies the other side of a repentant heart that Father can build on a heart that doesn't sit on pretense? Galatians 4, verse 4 to 7 says this. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, you are also an heir of an incredible inheritance. I know all about adoption because I've been adopted twice. I've had the privilege in my life of being adopted twice. I was adopted at 3 weeks old, way back in February 1966. And then I was adopted again in 1973 when Jesus adopted me as His daughter. Before most of you were even born. I've been adopted twice. I know the power of adoption. And I know my adoption has never been revoked. When my mum passed away 6 years ago, I didn't know that my mum had been trading on the stock market in her old age home. She's pretty savvy, my mum. You couldn't get anything past her, even at 87. And my brother and I were shocked that my mum left my brother Robert and I quite an inheritance that we knew nothing about. We thought we'd be lucky if we got a tenner. Hope City Church has done very well out of that inheritance. It was never revoked because when I was adopted, that inheritance was mine. And when you were adopted as a child of God, you gained an inheritance in heaven that can never be revoked. As much as you fail, as much as you feel condemned, as much as you do stuff, that adoption cannot be revoked. Because you've been adopted into an inheritance with your Father in heaven. And the Bible is so full of such great and incredible promises of inheritance. Let me just do a little bit of housekeeping as mother of the house here. Please read your Bible. not just because it's nice, but because every single word in your Bible is spirit-breathed. And it has the power to change your heart. If you would begin to dig for the treasure in the Word of God and realize the promises, the inheritance, the things that are in there for you, the incredible extravagance of heaven. My mum used to say to me, the mum who brought me up, read your Bible, pray and do as you're told and you'll do okay. And you know what? That's pretty true. And many of us put down old truth. We put down old truth to try to add to it some mix of 21st century mysticism that has no power in it whatsoever. Talk to your father. Read your Bible. Get those promises, those inheritances deep in your heart. You can't gain somebody else's faith. You have to glean it yourself. Come on, church. Grandma speaks. Do you know, it's a funny thing when you cross over that age from being the young and hip to the granny. And I remember I was preaching somewhere recently and there was this girl in her 30s and she's not from Hope City and she said, oh, I just love having you as a mother of faith in my world. And I said straight back to her, I said, oh, more like a peer. And then I went back to my hotel room and I was so convicted by the Holy Spirit. So I texted her back. I said, I'm owning my season. I'm owning my season. In actual fact, this young woman is from New York and she's preaching at She Is next February. You're a boy. I have gained, and you have gained today, an inheritance from the Heavenly Father. You have gained a father who surrounds you and walks with you. You have gained a father who constantly forgives your mistakes, who pours out the abundance of heaven on you, whose mercies are new every day. When you wake up every morning, whatever you did yesterday, the Bible says his mercies are new every morning and great is his faithfulness. Let's start getting the word of God back in our lives, church. This is a masterclass. Let's start getting the word back in our, or God back in our lives. Let's start reading the great and precious promises. Let's begin to see who this Father is. He's a God who makes this life renewed every day. He is a God who shows me the light of life. He's a God whose inheritance of promises are so precious that if we're to truly understand the nature of his heart toward us, we would be astounded. God's heart towards you. He leans into your life today. Every single life in here, he leans in. He leans in. He wants to pour out his spirit upon your life. He wants your life to be touched by God. Like I said earlier, I was just about to say I apologize for the simplicity. No, I do not. Because this is the power of the gospel. The beauty of this whole countercultural world is its simplicity, its grace, and its humility. Salvation offered and right relationship with God through the doorway of sorry. Not sorry, sorry. Genuine sorry. Father, I realize I've fallen short, but today I say, would you take my life? So limited, so needy, and place the gift of grace upon it. For some today, the simplicity of sorry is your way back. For others, it's the word of the Lord to overcome a pressing situation. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I wonder if the whole band could come up. That would be great. I am loving. I am loving the lover of my soul. Are you? I'm loving the God and stepped into my life as a little girl when I was 7, who has walked with me, who right now in my personal life is creating yet another incredible redemption story. I love the fact that in this world that is pursuing so many other things, that we are drawn back yet again to a simple Saviour. And some of you are going to make a step today, just in a moment. And I remember sharing about three, whatever, weeks ago. Could everybody come up? It'd be great. I remember sharing about 3 weeks ago about how when I was 11 or 12 and I was sitting in the back row of church. Oh, I love, oh, you're washing over my soul now. That's beautiful. And I made a step to God. And I had to walk past all my cool buddies because I wanted Jesus more than I wanted a reputation. I wanted freedom more than I wanted to be part of the cool club. I didn't want to be part of the cool club. I wanted to create a Jesus club. I wanted to be a person that created positive peer pressure in this world. I wonder if you'd stand with me this morning, church. We're going to do something really radical today, and I'm stepping right on out here. But there are some of you today in this place that you need to recommit your life. You need to step out from your seat today and say, Jen, I need to connect my heart with my Saviour. I need to get this grace that's free. There's some of you in this place that have never, ever received that grace. And while we sing Amazing Grace this morning, I wonder if you would come. Right across this place, you need to reconnect your life to Christ this morning. Let's sing. And I ask that you would come, those that want to know Jesus for the first time, and those that need this morning, your heart is thumping within your chest. Would you come right now and just come right down here and meet the author of your soul.
We hope you've enjoyed our podcast today. If you have, we'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast right on our homepage so you can hear all the latest streams from Hope City Church. Why not head to our website at hopecity.church to keep up to date with all that's happening across Hope City.